Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us this evening, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish. And we are celebrating because God has been good and revealed God's self to us. We saw beautiful eclipse. I wasn't the lucky one that got to see, but my daughter and son got to see it, and others were able to see. And a manifestation of the God that we serve and his superiority, his creativeness, his creation, and how wonderful God is, and how, as his children, we have so much to be grateful for, an awesome God that we serve. Tonight we are going, as always, to have devotions. We're going to start off with a prayer. Then we'll have a song, prayer, scriptures, and a song. And then we'll do an introductory prayer. And Margaret, you have the scripture for us. So we'll do prayer,
yes.
Scripture, song, and we will then go into the intercessory Bible study and start. So let's start with prayer. God, we come before you. We are so celebratory of your awesomeness, of your caring, of your kindness. Lord, you are such an awesome God, the song says. And it's right. Lord, you manifest yourself in so many ways that we are in awe, and we only get to see a fraction of it. So we just ask you that tonight, as we come before you, that you, Lord, would be patient with us and hear our petition. Our petition tonight, Lord, is that you teach us and give us revelation knowledge, that you show us what you want us to know in the book of Revelation as we study. And we are so excited about what you've done in our lives thus far. And we're just trusting that tonight, as we go further, that you will lead, guide, and direct us. Lord, we're asking that you would guide Margaret.
Yes.
She's going to be our main teacher tonight, and lead her with the direction that you'd have us to go. We ask these blessings in the matchless name of Jesus. And we trust you for it all. Amen and amen.
Amen. The reading tonight comes from the book of Revelation. Oh.
Go ahead. You can do it. I can mix them up. Yeah. Go ahead.
The book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 7 through 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, for you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you, because you have kept my word about patient endurance. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast that you what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Amen.
Thank you, God. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So as we start this evening, we are going to have our intercessory prayer. And do you have any questions or any prayer requests that you wanted to ask Ms. Margaret?
This is Margaret. I would like to request prayer for my friend Cassandra, who is doing better, but she's had an issue of bleeding that has made her very weak, but she is improving. So I praise God for that. And I also ask for prayer for my daughters and grandson and a family gathering we're going to have this weekend, that they would have traveling mercies and that the event, the time together would be blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
I ask for prayer for my son James, who just got out of the hospital today.
Praise God.
And he was in there for 3 weeks, and we just thank God that he is out. And we just thank God for delivering him because he was given the wrong medication.
Oh,
and so,
gosh.
It was kind of devastating for our family. I ask blessings on my daughter, Sydney. Prayer for job. I had an interview, so prayer for that job will come through. Also,
you have an interview, did you say?
I had it already, yeah.
So,
So praying for that, you know, that comes out well, and that came out well, and that if not, you know, the door will be open and God has something else in store. Pray for revival in the church. And for the homeless. Pray for the military and our veterans. And I think that's my list tonight. So, have you heard from Laura?
I did not hear from her today, but she was going to be here. I spoke with her last few days ago, and she was excited to be here tonight. So
I'm going to lift her up on the Bible study then.
Okay.
Did all is well with her and her uncle?
Yes. She was glad that she was going to be on today, but I don't know what happened. She isn't, is she?
And hopefully, you know, everybody had a great time with the eclipse. Were you able to see it?
Yes, it was probably less than 50%, but I was able to see it through my husband's welding helmet, the shield, and it was very exciting and communicated with the kids around the country. My son was in Chicago and headed home and passed through Indiana, and he saw 100% with his daughter and son. So it was total darkness, and it was so interesting about the birds were flying weirdly around here. They were flying really low. We almost got hit by one. Another one almost hit the ground, as if it somehow put them off their sensorium.
Off mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go to the Lord and pray.
Amen.
Most holy and righteous God, we celebrate you, we serve you, we praise your name, we glorify you, we magnify you, for you are worthy. We know you as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We know you as the bright and the morning star. We know you, O God, as our provider. We know you as Jehovah. We know you as the one who is was and is to come, that was, is, and is to come. We just thank you for being all of those things to us, and to Father, you're our God, and that we're your people. And as we come before you tonight, we just want to thank you. Thank you, O God, for loving us. Thank you, O God, for caring for us. Thank you, God, for never leaving us. Thank you, O God, for just walking with us and giving us the revelation knowledge that we stand in need of. And then, Lord, as we go forward, we pray. We pray for, in Jesus' name, we pray for we pray for that others will hear the word tonight and it will open their hearts and desires to know more of you. That's what we pray, that this Bible study and every Bible study we have points to you. So, Lord, with that in mind, we lift up the prayers of that have been mentioned. Margaret talked about, Cassandra talked about improving, how she's improving, talked about her daughters and her grandson, that they're having an event this weekend or the next couple of days, and asking for travel mercy. I ask that you continue to bless James and let his end of his semester still be prosperous, that he doesn't lose anything because he was in the hospital. I ask a special blessing for Sydney and her fiance as they engage in preparation for marriage and what's involved. I pray for job opportunities and that the one that I desire would come to fruition. Ask for revival in the church, homeless. We pray for our military and our veterans that are struggling with MSC, moral injury, traumatic brain injury, PTSD, military sexual trauma, whatever malady that they may be struggling with. Those who are, even as a result of having been involved with Agent Orange, Lord, that they would be find ways that they could become service connected, and as they do so, they would find healing for their body. So we also pray for Laura and her uncle, asking that you would bless them. Wherever Eric Jefferson Barnett is, we are praying for him and his family. We also lift up Miss Shirley and her family. And Lord, we just pray and ask that all would be well as we seek to do a Bible study that warrants to honor and glorify you. We ask these blessings now. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to talk about Philadelphia. And
amen.
I'm
really
ready
to go. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm a little bit ready. In a way, I feel like I'm drowning because I've tried to look in quite a few different books, and then it pulls out different histories, and there were other cities named Philadelphia as well, but in this particular one, Philadelphia is the Greek name of the ancient city established in 189 BC, King Eumenes II of Pergamon, and it means brotherly love. And he established it because of the love for his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity was introduced before the middle of the first century AD to this city. And it is approximately, well, I saw 25 miles in one history book, another it was 30 miles southeast of the ancient city Sardis. And mm-hmm. it was also situated on a plateau in the Cogomus River Valley, and it was a fertile plain. It was also, this city was situated, located on the path between the trade route from Rome as a gateway to the east. So it was a major trade city as well. It was prosperous, but it was situated on a geologic fault line, and
frequently suffered earthquakes, and one time it was actually totally destroyed, but the emperor Tiberius came to the rescue and rebuilt Philadelphia after it was destroyed. And it has certain ruins still remaining there, including a Byzantine basilica and Roman baths, a theater, a citadel, and a temple. So many cultures came to dwell there, and no doubt the Christians were a minority, and they were severely persecuted. And in our reading tonight, we can realize that Christ is extolling them for their virtues, for their faithfulness, and promising them that they will not apparently suffer the tribulation event.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for which verse it was. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world. That's chapter 3, verse 10 of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. And so not only does Christ honor them and uphold them, but he also makes this tremendous promise that they won't suffer the tribulation times, that there's a reward coming from them for them that none of the other churches are given. So they must have been very precious to the Lord and very...
He called them the faithful church as well.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I was looking, we had talked together about the prophetess Amia, and I couldn't find very much at all, but that she was ranking with Agrippa. She was a prophetess of Philadelphia.
Well, my info said that the church prospered under her ministry. And that she was universally recognized, ranking with Agabus and the $4 of Philip, in her possession of the gift of prophecy. So she was well known by some of the historians because of her gift and her ability to keep the church going effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And it said it held out as a Christian populace till 1392. And it says how many people, historians, how they admired the church's fortitude, and I thought that was, you know, really good.
Yes, considering what we discussed, that it wasn't a very, and we also discussed that people moved out of the city because it was so dangerous, and they were living in the surrounding area because of the constant earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it had been destroyed so badly that, like you said, people didn't want to live there. But they also rebuilt it and did so because it was a central place. And Tiberius came to their aid, and the citizens, in gratitude, named it Neo Caesar. Caesarea, Neo Caesarea, meaning new Caesar.
Yes.
So that name was changed to Flavia in around 70 and 79. And then that, along with Philadelphia, continued to be its name through the second and third century. But, you know, later they started having emperor cult in the city, which changed its title to Nikoros, or Temple Ward, which was kind of eventually called Little Athens because of all of the festivals and pagan cults.
Production of wine and the very Hellenistic culture.
Right. Dionysus and all of that was a really strong, you know, the Greek gods, of course, as they were in the other cities, were very strong. And you know. So I thought, you know, by 168 AD, that they were doing really good because AD, because Amnia kept it going. And it had a long life history of productivity, you know. With, and think about it. I think, did you tell me that they called it the gateway or something? Because
to the east,
it was
the gateway to the east from Rome,
because
that they would travel through.
But because they had so many Greek cults, and that it was right for ministry, you know.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And it's interesting to me how the letter begins with the speaker's identification. You know, when he says, "Him who is holy and true, who holds the keys of David." And, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's calling attention to Jesus, because it says, what he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. So we're talking about Jesus as the true Messiah.
Yes.
And I thought that it was good that they acknowledged that role, he calling him the true one, and that he, you know, was holy, trustworthy, and reliable in his words and actions. And, you know, it seems like this congregation that Christ only commended, you know, most of them he did both, he chastised, but he commended them.
Yes, to the point
and,
where they would be spared from the end time tribulation.
And there were times when it said that they had little strength, but they kept going in their faithfulness. So it's a reminder to me that when I don't think I can hold out, that it's that little strength. As long as I have some strength, God can, in grace and mercy, can take it the rest of the way. All
Amen.
I gotta do is hold on and be faithful, as was this church.
And sometimes,
so,
when people are persecuted and life is really hard, because it was more than simply persecution, it was the elements, it was the earth beneath them not being solid or trustworthy,
mm-hmm.
that their faith was simply stronger. God
mm-hmm.
had to be blessing them too, to strengthen their faith, despite their weakness.
Well, I just thought that when you look at all the other churches that we've talked about, and I can just hear in my heart the Lord saying, I know your deeds and the words, that you have little strength, yet you've kept my word and have not denied my name. Girl, I'd be ready to shout.
Amen. Praise God.
And
Amen.
And the God says that when we do what God says, I'm going to fix it. And when God says, I'm going to fix it, he says, I'm going to place you before an open door. Ain't nobody shut the door, baby. Don't worry about it. So when you have stood for righteousness, when you have done all you can do, and God says, be still, the battle is not yours. Come on, somebody.
Amen, amen.
The battle
Amen.
Is not yours. It's the Lord. And he said, I'm holding the door open. Can't nobody shut this door.
Praise God.
And we know that Christ had absolute authority from the Father. He opened the door for the Philadelphians that even their enemies couldn't close. But the question was, when he says open the door, what do you think that they're talking about when he says he opened the door?
Well, the gates of heaven. He's opened the door. They won't have to stay and face tribulation. They'll be raptured.
For them to evangelize. You know, here they are in heaven, Hellenism, all these cults, mm-hmm. all these festivals, all
yes.
this stuff around him. They have so many people
drunk
that they can just
debauchery.
Reach out and minister
yeah.
to. So he's opening the door to his kingdom for those who love him, and therefore reinforces the statement about opening and shutting. And I think that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's in a reference to the future missionary activity of the church.
Amen.
Yeah. So we found what became a problem is Sardis. Sardis was the one that said something about they had soiled clothing, right?
Yes, it did. I know your
right.
work.
So,
you have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with
mm-hmm.
me in white, for they are worthy.
Mm-hmm. So, unlike
yeah.
the people in Sardis, the Philadelphians were faithful all the way. They were faithful to the gospel, and they were faithful to the apostles' teaching, even during the trials of their faith.
Amen.
And he says, have not, he was celebrating, have not denied my name.
Praise God.
And so we have to ask ourselves, you know, we see all these examples in these churches. We have to ask the question, are we ready? Are we ready when we encountering, should the church go through the tribulation period? And the Antichrist is trying to cut off our head if we don't do what he tells us to do. Are we ready
yeah.
to be faithful unto death?
I
so
think
we
need to keep praying,
if we're
praying
like
God to help us.
And if we're like Philadelphia, we have to be faithful all the way.
Amen.
And he says, and not deny his name. So we've got these opposing witnesses in the congregation, those people, he says, who are of the synagogue of Satan, that claim to be Jews, though they're not, but are liars. And so similar to what they said to the church in Smyrna, they call them a synagogue of Satan. And here it seems like anything that this Jewish element that denies Christ as the Messiah, Jesus as the Messiah, that actively persecuted others that made that claim. So a true Jew would kind of be like John and Paul, the ones who had found forgiveness and life in Jesus the Messiah, while the false Jew was one who rejected those who believed in Jesus and openly persecuted them, such, you know, as we talked about in the Antichrist in 1 John.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when Ignatius was writing to the church in Philadelphia, he warned them not to listen to anyone propounding Judaism unto you. He says, a warning that might refer to maybe certain Christians who were trying to lead others into Judaism, as did the Judaizers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in Paul's day, we talked about them.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, perhaps the words have not denied my name, but Christ will make those who have persecuted the followers of Jesus as heretics acknowledge that God is indeed with the church in Philadelphia. They're not heretics, but they're God's people. So because they've
mm-hmm.
stayed true to the word, God is going to stand up and support them and is going to protect them. And that's what we need to know. That even though we go through trials and tribulations, even though there are times when we feel like we're alone, even though we have to stand against sometimes things that seem like we're standing alone against a situation that you know is not godly, but you're standing for justice and righteousness, when you've done that, God says what? He said he's got you. God's got you. And that's what we have to depend on.
Yes. And but a little while we're given that encouragement as well to be strong for but a little while and our relief will come.
Mhm. And I've always loved the part in verse 9. And I think it was in the. Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I think it was in Philippians 2:10-11. At the name of Jesus.
Philippians.
Every knee will bow. And every tongue confess. And Jesus Christ is Lord. The glory of the Father. And of the Father. Now, some people are going to do this joyously. They're going to be excited about it. They're going to be celebrating. And then there's going to be some people who they're not going to do it.
There's some kind of weird feedback. Can you hear it? I can hardly hear you. I'm going to hang up and call back in. Hello? Are you there?
Yeah.
I think it's gone now. Whew. Yeah, I can hear you good now.
So, you know, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess has always seemed the pinnacle. You know what I mean? That no matter what happens, the enemy loses. It's like we know how the story ends. God wins. And so because we know how it ends, we can operate in a certain way. You know, it's different when you don't know that you're going to win. You know what I'm saying? You can have faith and you can have, there was a story, I think we told this earlier in the year, about the king who wanted to go into war. Remember him? And he knew that his soldiers weren't quite on board, that they were scared. And so he took a coin and he tossed it up in the air. He said it was a magical coin. And he said, if it lands on the bear, they'll win. If it lands on the side of, if it lands on the side of the eagle, they'll win. If it lands on the side of the bear, they won't be productive in war. And so the coin was flipped. And as it went down, it landed on the eagle. So they all knew that they would win. So they went into the war knowing and full of energy and fighting and believing. You know what I'm saying? Because they knew they were winning. The magic coin told them they were winning. And then when it was over, girl, when the war was over, he showed them the coin. It was an eagle on both sides. So the reality is how we view life, how we see things, how we walk, how we talk, what we put out, that positivity is what will influence our lives. And so I think when we know that every knee bows and every tongue confess, that gives us strength to fight the battle and keep going on. Are you there? Are you there? You can't hear me, Margaret? Can you hear me? Hmm. I can't hear anybody. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear?
Yes, yes, I can hear you.
I don't know what happened.
It's good now. The sound is gone, but I was like, couldn't get on. And I heard that Sister Laura is in the audience. Good evening, Sister Laura.
It took her out and brought her back in. She can talk now. Can you hear Sister Laura?
Yes. You hear me?
Yay. Welcome.
Yeah, we hear you now.
Praise God.
So we were just talking, Miss Sister Laura, we were just talking about the scripture in verse 9 where it talks about every knee shall bow and every tongue confess at the name of Jesus. That always did something special for me because we know that we've won. We know we're winning. So when you go into a war knowing that you're going to win, you got a different attitude.
Yeah.
You know, you got a different attitude because you know you're going to win.
Yeah.
So. So I think that when we understand that the future, the eschatology, the future, we have that acknowledgement that God is indeed the true Lord. And those who are following pagans, they're going to be forced to render to the followers of Jesus. Every knee will bow. Every tongue.
Every knee. Every tongue.
So, and this was a promise that was given to the church in Philadelphia. And, you know, though they weren't, I think that this has to be taken as a promise to all the churches that he says, since you kept my command to endure patiently, talking about the conditions under which the promise is valid. He says, talking about his word of his patience means the command of Christ to endure suffering, to endure till he returns, to keep holding on, to have faith, talking about how the faithful Philadelphia was by holding on, referring to their teaching, encouraging Christians to endure, you know, in the midst of a sinful world, following the pattern of Christ himself. And so I just think that this is great promises that the Bible gives us. You know, there's another promise that says, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. That's what Margaret was talking about a minute ago. That is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. So,
yes.
So when we talk about the hour trial, you know, I think that's the tribulation.
Amen.
You know, that they're going to have to endure. Those who live on the earth, you know, unbelievers that are going to be the objects of God's wrath, the beast worshippers. So, as they go through the great tribulation. So this hour of trial is, I heard, going to be really, really devastating. And we'll be talking about that in just a few books. And when they talk about, John 17:15 says that it's sort of, can you read John 17:15? Are you close to that, Mother?
I think I can pull it up here pretty quick. Let's see. One second. John.
So I think what it's talking about is that
you said 7 or 17?
17.
Okay.
That those who are kept from the evil or the evil one doesn't mean to be removed from his presence, but to be kept from his harmful power. And, you know, we would love not to be in his presence, right?
Yeah.
Because that means that, you know, it makes it a lot easier if you don't have to deal with him at all. But it's not like they don't have to deal with him. It's just that in the midst of dealing with him, God has protected them from any of the Antichrist harmful power.
Amen. I have that verse, 17:15. Should I start a little earlier, like say 14?
Okay, let's try
that. Or maybe a little earlier than that. Verse 12.
You're looking at it. Okay.
While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one.
Right.
That was,
and so what he's saying is that reinforces what he's saying, is that though they have to undergo some trials, they're kept by the power of God. You know, there was a song we used to sing, "Oh, to be kept by Jesus." Kept by the power of God. And when you think about it, it's not that you don't have to see the Antichrist or to experience the fear or the challenges that he presents. But what he's saying is you don't have to be fearful because I've overcome the world.
And
by my being able to overcome, by you understanding that the way this ends is I'm in control, by the way you understand that I am victorious and I have control. And when we understand that God has already said how this bad boy is going to end, that's how we walk. That's how, when we know that the hour is that we're being kept from the evil one, like you were saying, Margaret, when you read the scripture. We're kept from that hour of trial, and God will have us. And so I'm really excited about that part. You know, I personally do not want to go through the tribulation. I personally want to believe that we're going to be raptured and taken out of this place. I don't want to be here. We're going to start talking about some of the horrible things that they're going to have to endure. I do not want to be here.
And that's,
go ahead, Miss Laura.
No, I was just saying that's why God has given us all the opportunity to repent and to get it right.
Amen.
And see, now I thought about how the days of Noah, this happened up on us, and see, when Noah was building the ark, they call him all kinds of names. Cain, the flood came. And I think about how the Lord given us all opportunity to repent, to confess, make known his deed, that he is alive. And then I love how Jesus went to God. That's one of my scriptures I read before I go to bed at night, is John 17, where the Lord Jesus told God that we have power. And then also he told God to keep us from the evil one. And I love that.
Yes,
amen. Yes, me too. And the other one that I wanted us to look at was 1 Thessalonians. Or let's see which one of us gets it first, Margaret.
First Thessalonians. What is it?
You already got it.
1 Thessalonians. I got it. 4:15, did you
ahead.
Say?
13.
But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope.
Mm-hmm. So the church universal is going to experience preservation from harm in the trial of persecution and suffering, and will not be raptured to the end of the period. But they will be raptured according to what, you know, the premillennialist, postmillennialist, but the hour of trial that John trying to describe is a judgment from God on the unbelieving inhabitants of the world.
not a form of evil that you were reading about in John 17:15 earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true that the saints of the tribulation period are exempt from harm, because remember, we got to understand that even if those are raptured, there are some who change and accept the Lord because of the witnesses that are here, you know, speaking and telling them about the Lord. So there are people who will change and believe.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to understand what happened. It says the saints of the tribulation period are exempt from harm during that period, but a great group of them will be martyred. If we look at, I think it's John 6:9-11. I'm going to see.
John 6:9-11. Let's see. I think I've got it. Let's see. 7, 8, 9. There is a boy here who has, well, it must be not this one. 6:9-11.
It was about when
Jesus was sharing the, when he performed the miracle of the barley loaves and the fish.
Yeah, that's what this is.
That's the one that you want. There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as many as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost.
And then what goes with that is 7:9-14. And I'm going to read that one right there.
7:9-14.
It's where it says that Jesus is talking to his brothers. And
want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead. I had it
after,
in the last
But book. After his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he also went up, not but in private. The Jews were looking for him in the feast and saying, where is he? And there was much muttering about him among the people. While some said, he is a good man, others said, no, he is leading the people astray. Yet for fear of the Jews, no one spoke openly of him. And about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, how is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?
So it makes it seem as though there are these hours of trial, this time when even Jesus was not was being preserved and protected until his hour. Can you hear me?
I think I'll have to get out again. It's doing this weird.
I hear you.
It went away, Laura. It was like this humming.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now? Yes.
Okay. I don't know. You know, they've been having problems with Blog Talk, but so the objective is that even they were looking for Jesus, he was being preserved from the devil. He was being preserved from those people
protected.
Taking him.
Yes.
And so the idea
Amen.
Is what he's saying. It does not mean that they're not coming after you. Come on.
Yes.
It does
Amen.
Not mean the people around you aren't going to do what they do.
Yeah.
But they're
yes.
not going to get you because it's not the time. God is protecting
Praise
that.
God. Amen.
And so we have to understand that there is a time when there will be some believers that will be martyred. They will be martyred. And But that's why we read in some of the last couple of chapters that they are prepared for this. They don't have to go through the second death. Remember?
Amen. Yes, I do remember that.
So so we know that, you know, that's this fierce persecution of believers by the beast, and that you get this outpouring of judgment and rebellion from the trumpets and the bowls, the plagues that the Lord sends. And this is a really difficult time for those who are left on the earth. So
Amen.
It's going to be tough. I don't want to be here. I want to be sitting at his feet and or under the altar, whichever one.
Mm. Wherever you
I
want
to be. I just don't want to be. Yeah. So they're going to have famines, earthquakes, wars, floods, all this stuff. Whew. And so I'm wanting to be raptured, and that's my prayer. So I think is it verse 10?
In 3:10 in Revelation chapter
Revelation,
3 verse 10 is yes, it's the verse that says,
"Can you
because
read that
you
one?
Have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth." And I'm coming soon.
So even though they're on the earth, yet they're going to be exempt from that time, from that trial.
Yes.
And I think the trial will be experienced by the unbelievers, while the believers are going to be immune, not from trial or persecution, but from a specific type of trial. They're going to be immune from God's wrath, right?
Amen. Yeah.
Which is aimed at the rebellion, those who are not believers on earth, those who are left. Now, you know, it's funny. We don't want to see God as a wrathful God. But that's what Revelation shows us. It says, when you aren't on the team, God at some point is no longer giving you options to keep coming home. At some point, he says, this is your choice. You are choosing to not be my child. You are choosing to be against and not love me. You are choosing to reject me. And as such, you will have to experience God's wrath. So, that's deep. But Christ promises to protect his own, right?
Yes.
For those who have protection, because we've been obedient, he's going to protect us. And he tells us, today, y'all need to hear it. I am coming soon.
Amen.
And it's not
Glory
a threat of
God.
Judgment, but it's a promise of protection for the faithful. And that's how I say, I got you. That's what he's saying. I got you.
Yes, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this one lady used at work, she has this saying. She says, you always have to show up for the battle, but you don't always have to fight.
Amen.
The battle is the Lord's.
And
he's saying, I got you. I got you. I'm coming and I got you.
Yes.
Loyal disciples, I got you. Disciples that are faithful, I've got you. Conflict is there, but I got you. Hold on to what you got so that nobody can take your crown.
No
and
one.
They kept his word. They didn't deny his name in the face of persecution. And nothing could separate them. Neither Satan nor men could rob them of their crowns because they were loyal to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And
Amen.
So as we end this, I think the verse, was it verse 12 and 13? It talks about
the one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God.
Mm-hmm.
Never
mm-hmm.
shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God
and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
So he's promising, that Christ
Amen.
Is promising to take his believers and put them in his temple, in his future kingdom, in such
Praise
a
God.
Secure way that no disturbance can ever force them out. We don't have to worry.
We don't.
So you've got this faithful servant, this distinguished priest that has a special pillar inscribed with his name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he's saying, this may be the second promise, is that I'm going to write on him. Write on me, Lord. Write on me. The name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, and my new name. I want a brand new name. Hallelujah. Inscribe
yes.
all over me, Lord.
Amen.
And he says, you don't have to have a lot of strength. See, that's the thing, y'all. You know, as long as we hold on, you don't have to have a whole lot of influence. They can ostracize us. They can mistreat us. They can kick us and put us on aside. They can make us feel like we're nothing. But God says, you who have little strength, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
You become identified and owned by me.
Praise God.
And he promised recognition in his kingdom. That's really where it's most important. Right?
Amen.
It
yes.
is.
So
Praise
that's
God.
What we got. Now we got the Philadelphians that they're impressed that God, God's self, not the emperor, has chosen to identify himself with them and to ensure their citizenship in the new Jerusalem. I want it. Christ's new name can
Amen.
Be either the unknown name that he alone knows, signifying his absolute power over all other powers, or the new name of Christ, whatever one he gives to the believer. But whatever
mm-hmm.
it is, inscribe it on me. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's where we're going to stop tonight. We have dealt with Philadelphia, and we saw her faithfulness. Margaret, you did an awesome, awesome job of talking about it and bringing it up. And I just
Thank
think
you.
That it's a blessing for us to be able to presence
it
of the
is.
Lord,
Someone
even when
please.
We have little strength, because we know that that's all that's required. He's got us. Grace and mercy got the rest.
Amen.
Yes.
So, Sister Margaret and Ms. Laura, can you guys go ahead and extend the invitation while I do the next thing on in the studio? I have to
okay.
type some stuff in here while y'all do that.
Well, for those who are listening to our voices, I would like to ask you to pray with me this prayer to invite Jesus Christ into your heart. Would you pray with us now? Oh, Lord, we know that you died on Calvary for us, for me. We know that we are not worthy, but by your grace, by your tremendous sacrifice there, dying on the cross for us and rising again, and that you are seated at the right hand of the Father Almighty. We praise you and give you honor and glory, and we ask that you would be our Savior, that we claim you tonight, Lord. Would you save us from our sin, eternal life, because we believe and confess with our mouth that you are Lord, you are our Savior. If you've prayed this prayer with us, we are tremendously happy and excited along with the angels in heaven that a new believer has joined the fold.
Amen.
And that
Amen.
You will be spared from the second death. You will not
Amen.
Experience it. You will be living life eternally in heaven.
Amen. 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 For those of you who have accepted that,
we celebrate with you. As she said, as the angels in heaven are, we celebrate with you, and we're excited that you are now part of the family of the Lord. And as yes. you are a part of the family, understand that, you know, we just ask that you get involved in a Bible-believing church. You get baptized. You continue to study God's word and come back and join us here at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, and continue to search the scriptures to show yourself approved. God is able to keep you from falling and will continue to nurture and strengthen you as you go through. And we're asking that you bring your family with you to join us and call in to 646-478-4932. That is 646-478-4932. And join us here next week on Love Connection, the place where God's word is studied and exalted.
Amen. Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. I enjoyed you all.
We enjoyed you too. I enjoyed you too, Laura. God bless you.
So we good night.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.